From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, February 12th. I'm Abby Larico. At the beginning of each year, volunteers spend a night searching for people who are unhoused for an annual federal tally. Funding for homeless assistance programs depends on it. The count is a challenge in rural areas, though.
It's harder to prove their existence because they're more hidden. Like, we have people living in the woods in some places, and you would have no idea that they are there.
The Midwest Newsroom takes us along for the count, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Up to 4 inches of snow is expected to hit the St. Louis region today. Meteorologists say the northern and central parts of the region will see more snow, and the south will have mostly sleet and rain. Chris Kimball is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in St. Louis.
You know, it might look like not much has happened, but we are expecting that through the day we'll be seeing that winter precipitation. If you do venture out in the morning, you might find it more difficult to get home in the evening. And if you are traveling, definitely use caution, slow down.
Kimball says the precipitation will continue until this evening. Transportation leaders in St. Louis and Illinois say they've been pre-treating roads with salt and chemicals to prevent the snow and ice from sticking. The St. Louis Civil Service Commission hearing to recommend whether Mayor Tashara Jones should fire Personnel Director Sonia Jenkins Gray wrapped up yesterday after 8 days of testimony over 2 months. As First Alert 4 reports, invoices from October to January show the cost of the city's legal representation totaling more than $114,000. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis has the details on how it began and the hearing's final moments.
The hearing centers around a July 2024 trip by Jenkins Gray to Jefferson City. She says she went there in a city car to collect personal documents with a subordinate. Jenkins Gray paid the city back the $170 for the trip. Reggie Harris is the lawyer representing the city.
The director behaved in a way that demonstrated clearly that she should not be the director of personnel for the city of St. Louis.
But Jenkins Gray's lawyer, Ron Norwood, says this is an attack against her by Mayor Tashara Jones and an attack on the civil service system.
If we can't legitimately protect from political interference the director of personnel, what is going to protect the snow removal people?
Both parties have 14 days to submit legal briefs before a recommendation is made. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County residents will vote on a measure on whether to allow the county council to fire department directors. After being taken off the ballot earlier in the day by a circuit judge, an appeals court judge placed Proposition B back on the April 8th ballot last night. It would allow the council to fire department directors or the county councilor with 5 out of 7 votes. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page called the proposition a power grab by the council and said council members were wasting money by putting it before voters.
Those dollars could be used to plow roads, fill potholes, hire people to open our property tax bills, but instead, we're doing this.
The court ruling said detractors could sue over the measure if it passes later this year. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey has filed a lawsuit against Starbucks, claiming the company is discriminating illegally by setting goals for the representation of people of color and women in its workforce. St. Louis Public Radio's Evie Lewis reports.
The Attorney General's lawsuit compares Starbucks hiring goals to affirmative action in college admissions, referencing the 2023 court case where the United States Supreme Court ruled against the practice. The lawsuit also claims that Starbucks hiring practices are causing higher prices and longer waits that could be avoided if Starbucks, quote, employed the most qualified workers. The lawsuit alleges that programs designed to connect female employees, LGBTQ employees, and employees of color with mentors are also discriminatory. A Starbucks spokesperson called the allegations, quote, inaccurate, adding that the company's programs are lawful and open to everyone. In Jefferson City, I'm Evie Lewis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Republicans are taking another crack at legalizing video gambling machines. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum reports how a Pulaski County lawmaker is trying to bridge divides in the fractious debate.
State Representative Bill Hardwick's legislation would legalize the gambling devices typically found in truck stops and fraternal organization halls. Prior efforts to legalize them floundered, particularly due to opposition from casinos who felt the games encroached on their turf. Hardwick, though, says there's value in creating legal regulatory framework for the gambling machines.
And I also have an interest, especially given the economic uncertainty of future years in Missouri and nationally, of making sure we have a diversified way of raising revenue.
Hardwick's bill passed through a committee earlier this month. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Hardwick was a guest on Politically Speaking. You can hear that episode at stlpr.org, on our app, or wherever you get podcasts like this one. The St. Louis Symphony Orchestra will return to Powell Hall on September 19th. That's after a two-year renovation and expansion costing $140 million. The orchestra's first events back will be a private show and then a gala concert. It will resume subscription concerts at its Grand Center home on September 26th. During the renovations over the past two seasons, St. Louis Symphony has performed at other venues, including the Stiefel Theater and Two Hill Performing Arts Center. The Sheldon Concert Hall and Art Galleries is launching an $11 million fundraising campaign, and the money will pay for renovations that Sheldon's leaders hope will raise the organization's profile, as St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
The Sheldon was built in 1912, and yet Executive Director Peter Palermo says he often has to give directions by referencing the Fox Theater nearby. Palermo says the 700-seat Sheldon, with its excellent acoustics and intimate atmosphere, should be talked about like the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville or Carnegie Hall in New York.
These are venues that are gems, that have a personality. You know, music lovers thoroughly enjoy the experience of going and hearing music in those spaces, and we think the Sheldon belongs in that conversation.
Renovations will include a marquee, redesigned entrance, and new gallery, bar, and lounge areas. The refurbished Sheldon will reopen in October after closing for about 4 months. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Every January, volunteers venture into the night to count the number of people experiencing homelessness across the country. It's part of the annual count directed by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And resources for homeless assistance organizations depend on it. Getting an accurate count is a challenge, though, especially in rural regions. The Midwest Newsroom's Kayvon Mansouri reports.
It's 1 a.m. and below freezing in a heavily wooded area behind a Dollar General in Jefferson City, Missouri. Icy snow covers the trail April Redmond carefully walks over. It's pitch black, except for the flashlight beaming from Redmond's phone.
I mean, there's a whole load of beer cans.
Up ahead, her flashlight catches what looks like a mound of trash. Some empty Miller High Life cans, cushions, and a tipped-over lawn chair sit covered in snow. Someone lived here. Redmond hopes the recent snowstorm or the low temperatures sent them looking for a warmer place to stay.
It's harder to prove their existence because they're more hidden. Like, we have people living in the woods in some places, and you would have no idea that they are there.
Redmond and other volunteers search in Missouri's Callaway and Cole counties as part of the nationwide point-in-time count, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's annual tallying of the nation's homeless population. The count serves as an estimate and a guide for the government to decide where federal funding to support people without stable housing should go. Redmond operates Callaway Cares, a local nonprofit that helps people struggling with housing. Redmond expected several teams of volunteers to help tonight to cover the 1,250 square miles, but they ended up with only four people. They search abandoned buildings and fast food restaurants.
I personally think it's even more important that we track what numbers we can in the rural areas, honestly, because if we're not out doing this kind of thing, nobody knows that there's a homeless population.
Redmond knows an undercount is a problem, and that if they don't get an accurate number, the people struggling with housing in the rural Midwest could be shortchanged on services. It's a known problem. Jesse Rabinowitz is a spokesperson for the National Homeless Law Center. He says the point-in-time count is flawed because methods haven't meaningfully changed in a decade, and lawmakers don't act on the data that shows homelessness is getting worse in the country.
The central question behind the point-in-time should be, what do we need to do next year so that fewer people are experiencing homelessness when we go out and count them? Because if we're just counting people to get data, that's not sufficient.
Indeed, in 2020, the U.S. Government Accountability Office reported HUD's methods of counting homelessness on a single night limits the number of people that can be tallied. In winter, people may be doubling up or tripling up in homes. What's more, the report says HUD doesn't offer enough guidance to local volunteers who perform the count, meaning counting methods throughout the country may vary. Rabinowitz says a recent surge in laws that criminalize camping outdoors in the country are driving people without housing away from visibility.
Instead of solving homelessness, cities and states across the country are passing laws that make it illegal for people to sleep outside.
Last year's point-in-time count data released in early January, a full year after the original search. The data showed homelessness in the U.S. is up 18% from 2023, and the population is the largest it's been since the count started 20 years ago. In Missouri, Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska, the 2024 count tallied just over 15,000 homeless people. Some cities are trying a different approach to assist their homeless population. In St. Louis, Omaha, and Kansas City, a group called Community Solutions works with officials to track homeless individuals by name to match them with a housing solution. Adam Ruggie is the group's director for strategy and evaluation.
This is actually a problem that can be solved through housing and support and healthcare and resources like that.
Back in Missouri, volunteer Christina Willard enters an abandoned hotel and finds one person. Later, she and Redmond find three people at a McDonald's and give a man a sleeping bag and two blankets.
And one of them will quite literally be sleeping in the creek bed tonight.
In the end, they count 14 people overnight. They will continue counting at shelters over the next week. Still, Redmond says she knows there are people they aren't finding. For the Midwest Newsroom, I'm Kayvon Mansouri.
The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration including NPR and public radio stations in Missouri, as well as Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska. The Midwest Newsroom is also a member of the Trust Project. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Stay warm and stay safe today.